Three Godly Women by Pastor Mark Hornbaker, First Baptist Church, Lewis, Kansas.
Okay, the thing I said I've never done before is I've never preached out of three different texts. So it's going to be about an hour and 20 minutes, if you don't mind.
I sure got quiet.
You did! You want me to preach fast? Okay, we'll get to it. Lord, guide us. We can't do a thing without you and your spirit. Lord, we trust your spirit to guide us and help us to say what we need to say today. There's so much we can say about godly women. And as I thought about that, I thought there was three very special women in Scripture that had very unique and interesting sons. Sons that made a difference in the life of people that lived around them. I pray that our lives would make a difference. And this is not just a message for women, this is a message for us all. We need to realize if we commit ourselves completely and fully to you, there's no end of the things that you can do through us and in us. Guide us this morning by your Spirit. Speak through us all. And make us a blessing, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're going to start right at the very beginning, and then I'm going to kind of share a few things with you. Yeah, I'm glad you all got Bibles. Because one thing I've always taught you, you need a Bible to check up on a preacher. If they're not preaching out of the Word, you better find somewhere else. Because God's Word never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever, just like He is. You know, man changes his word all the time. And if you'll allow me, I'll let this billfold be on the front seat, and I'll feel free to preach. 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Now, there was a certain man of... These words always get me. Ramathan. Sophim. Of Mount Ephraim. I can get Mount Ephraim. His name was Elkanah. And he was the son of Horam, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, something, the son of an Ephraimite. Ephraim. The Ephraimites lived north of Jerusalem. They were one of the 10 northern tribes, the Ephraimites. This man, Elkanah, had two wives. One was Hannah. We all remember Hannah. Do you remember the second wife? Not very many. Hannah. Okay? Hannah had sons and daughters. I mean, she could have kids. You just drop your hat and she had another one. Hannah couldn't have children. Yeah. Couldn't have children. What did Hannah do? What we all ought to do. Look to God and pray. Look to God and pray. And trust that God will answer your prayer. Amen. Why should we do that? Because we need guidance and help from the Lord every day. Amen?
Amen.
I need it. You need it. Yep. All of humanity needs it. Amen. We need to know the Lord is there for us if we go to Him. Don't go somewhere else. Right. Don't do what the world is doing. Do what God wants you to do. Okay? First thing He wants you to do in your life is He wants you to look to Him in prayer and ask for guidance and help every day. What did Hannah do? She was barren. She couldn't have children. And they came, like most people in that area, came to Shiloh. Now, I like the word Shiloh. You know why I like the word Shiloh?
Grandbaby.
That's my grandbaby's name. Shiloh. But Shiloh was a place of worship in that day. They came to Shiloh because the Ark of the Covenant was there. God's presence was there. Until the Philistines stole it away. Why? Why did the Philistines steal the Ark?
Power.
Power. Worldly power. Should they have stolen the Ark? Could they if God had not wanted them to? No! They couldn't have done a thing if God didn't want them to. If God wanted to teach Israel a lesson. He wanted them to look to Him and not everywhere else for their help. By the way, that's what people are doing today. They're looking everywhere else except to God. Where do you go? You go to God in prayer, and you ask, and you pray, and you believe. Believe. Can't ask, have if you don't believe. It's just like shooting in the wind. We know about shooting in the wind here in Kansas, don't we? It's liable to end up in Nebraska or Oklahoma, depending on which direction the wind's blowing. And that's kind of the way with ideas and thoughts today. Depends which direction the wind is going, which way people are going. We need to be consistent people, people that look to God, seek His answers, seek His ways, and walk in them. It's not enough to know the truth. We've got to walk in the truth. We've got to live it every day. Every day. Boy, I found out when I was going to school. First semester, I didn't have to work because I'd saved up some money. And unlike most of those college students that went to that little school all the way, I didn't have to work. And so I learned to study. Southwestern Theological has a lot of books. Well, they got more books in one little cubbyhole than we had in our whole library at my college. But that didn't deter me. I went down there to Southwestern, and I got some of those good old books that were written about theology, when what we ought to know more about is neology. You following what I'm saying?
Yes.
We as God's people need to seek God for direction and help, because the Spirit of God will guide us into all truth in His book. Praise God for a woman like Hannah. That brings me to another name I like. Hannah. Little girl's name is Shiloh Hannah. Shiloh Hannah. Wow. Got hair like you wouldn't believe. Got more hair on her head than you have on your beard. And that's no shabby beard. Hannah. She trusted God. She believed in God. She prayed to God. And she went to offer her gifts. Her husband, Elkanah, gave her a worthy portion, even though she had no children. He said, am I not better than 10 sons? Sometimes, especially in that culture then, if you didn't have children, you were looked down on. And you can be looked down on by society for all kinds of reasons, hurtful reasons. And you can even do what the second wife did. You can make fun of, or you can put down, of the one that lacks the blessings. Okay? So what did Hannah do? She prayed. She asked God. She asked God and vowed a vow. Now, if you're going to make a vow to God, you better be serious about it. And she was. O Lord of hosts, verse 11, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid, and remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, in other words, a son, then I will give him, notice this, I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head. Now, what does that mean, no razor? He's going to be a Nazarite. He's going to be separated to you, Lord. And she follows through on that. And she kept that child. She taught that child, I believe, the ways of the Lord, how to follow the Lord in all times. And it says when she was when the child was weaned, she brought him to Eli the priest. Now, Eli had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Hophni and Phinehas were very wicked. Wicked sons. They hadn't learned from Dad anything. No, you can have all the advantages in the world, but when children won't learn, it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard. I've been blessed to have three children that love the Lord, that are serving the Lord. Now, I realize that not every pastor can say that. And that's not to my credit, it's to God's credit. And their credit of accepting the Lord early on in their lives. And that's what makes the difference. That's why I'm so into this youth movement thing, getting the kids to know the Lord so they can grow in the Lord and make a difference in their world. People, I'm getting older every day. So are you. But I want to make a stand on the Lewis and surrounding community. I want people to know that they can come here, they will hear about Jesus and what Jesus can do in their lives, and they can hear what Jesus has already done in the lives of others. She had a son, she brought him to the Lord, she dedicated him to the Lord. Every year she come back with a new little coat for him. She was faithful. Faithful and true. I'm excited about women that are faithful in the Lord, that love the Lord, that serve the Lord, that teach their families about the Lord. We don't know it all, but we know the one that does. And when we don't have the answers, we need to look up instead of around. That's the key. That's the key. Our kids need to see our faith in us. Faith in action. We got to say and be the same things on Monday as we are on Sunday. That's what I'm saying. Every day of the week needs to be the same for us. A day to give praise to God, thanks to God for what He's done, and follow through on what we say we will do. People are looking for loopholes. Is there a way out for me? Well, the Word says there's a way out for you. It's appointed a man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. What are you going to say at judgment day? You see, the Lord's going to judge all of us one day. He is. That's just a fact. He brought us into this world. He's going to take us out one day. I hope, I pray, I get taken out on the getting up Sunday day. If you know what I mean. Some of you are shaking your head. Yeah, you know. Are you ready to go?
Amen.
We don't have that call. Jesus said, I don't even know. But it's coming. Be ready. And stand on your promises just like this faithful woman did on hers. Now, we want to go a little further. And I want to back up here and go to a woman. That's Hannah. A woman named, I named her Mrs. Manoah. Mrs. Manoah, because her name is not mentioned. She is found in Judges chapter 13. Judges 13, verse 1. The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. Now that's not good. And the Lord delivered them to the hand of the Philistines 40 years. You know what 40 represents? It's a time of testing. How long did the Israelites wander in the wilderness? How long? 40 years. Why? Because they didn't obey the voice of the Lord. See what happens when you don't obey God? You'll wander in the wilderness. You'll have problems in your life. Hey, now listen. That doesn't mean just because I'm following the Lord that I'm exempt from problems. No. Life brings its own problems along with it. Just because my blood pressure is fine today doesn't mean I can stop my medication tomorrow. I've tried that already. It doesn't work. But if I take my meds, I'm good. For me, does my blood pressure go up when I preach? Probably does. I hope my vessels are elastic. I love standing here in front of you. I love that. Why? Because God has placed on my heart and on my mind the things of God, and I want to share those things with you. Because I know that God can do the same things in you He's done in me. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can trust Him. You can depend on Him. He's always there.
Yes.
Praise God. Because there's sometimes He's got me out of a pickle. Amen. Did y'all testify about that? Yeah, He's got me out of a pickle or two. I remember going to Arizona that one time. And we were on a four-laner. And I saw that there was a problem over here. Oh, I know what it was. It was a motor vehicle, one of those RVs. Pulling a little car behind it, and he was going kind of slow, so I swung out into the middle lane, and lo and behold, when I come up over there, I saw a car stalled out, partly out into my lane. And here is the RV right beside me. That's not good. Especially when you're running 75. Going down over the hill, there it is. The cop right behind the car. Here's the RV. What are you going to do? God help us. That's about as short a prayer as I ever preach. I'll ever speak. God help us. And somehow I got behind the RV. And the car behind. I had my whole family in there. All of them. Shadow was back in the nest, we called it. The rear seat. She claimed the whole thing. She She sat in the middle, put her belt on, and laid down. I'm just telling the truth. The guys up there in the captain chairs, in front of her, and Lori and I up in front of her. And somehow, God got us out of that center lane, that middle lane, inside lane, in behind all that mess. God did it. God did it. I don't know how he did it. There one day, I'm not good enough to be able to do something like that. Right? That's why I say, allow me to come and pray with you and for you. You go somewhere and you have a pressing need. I love to pray because I know the Lord will hear and answer our prayers if we believe. Belief is the key. Belief. God wants to hear and answer your prayers too. I hope you pray for me. When I get myself in a pickle, because I know all of you will probably get in a pickle sometime. And I pray that I'll be able to hear you're in the pickle. Or sense you're in the pickle. And be able to pray for you. Because sometimes God has brought some of you to my mind at curious times, and I'll pray. Because I figure if it's somebody in my crew, I need to pray for them. Amen?
Amen.
That's what a pastor ought to do. Shouldn't he?
Yeah.
You ought to pray. Because he knows someone much higher than me. And he is able to deliver you. Praise God. We have somebody to go to. That's what we have here in Judges chapter 13. The children did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them to the hand of the Philistines 40 years. Oh my. Verse 2. Manoah. There was a certain man of Zorah, the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. The angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Verse 5. Thou shalt conceive and bear a son. The child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. I like this new Bible, but the pages are too thin. He shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. The woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. But he said to me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. A Nazarite. And his name was Samson. Samson. I always liked the story about Samson. I like the story because Samson was the strong man in the Bible. He did unusual feats. One time he took a city gate and he took it up on the top of the hill. He just put it up on his shoulders and walked off with it. It was not something any ordinary man could do. It's not something Samson could do on his own. It's something God helped him to do. One time, he told this riddle before he's going to... You know, Samson had some besetting sins. Some sins he ought to let the Lord help him with. In fact, some sins his parents warned him. Can't you find any woman that you desire among your own people? Believer with believer, they believed. I believe that too. Sometimes things happen that we have no control over. God is able to change things. He's able to heal things. He's able to make things right. Samson did a lot of wrong things. He messed around with harlots. Don't name your baby Delilah. You know why? That's like entering the devil's camp. Delilah! He trusted people that he ought not trust. You ought to just serve God. Let God do the work. God is able to do so much better than we can. That's why the scripture says he began to deliver them. I mean, even in his death, when he killed more of the Philistines than all the rest of the time. And remember, this was a huge place where Samson was. They'd already put his eyes out. And he asked for the little boy to come over so that he might lean against the two main pillars in the building. And Samson had in his mind to take it down. And he did. There were 3,000 people up there. 3,000 on top of the roof. Looking down to see what they would have Samson do. There were many others inside of that building. All perished along with Samson. He did it all because of God's strength that he gave to him. Without God, he couldn't do a thing. He was weak as a kitten. I don't know if he realized where his real strength was. He thought it was just the locks in his hair. You know, sometimes we have real strength. We don't use it. Men, amen? I mean, we've got strength through the Holy Spirit. In fact, he lives inside of us that believe. He's got more strength than all Satan's hosts.
Right. That's right.
He's able to deliver me. He is our strength and our help every day. Look to him. Don't look around at the world and what they're doing. Do what God teaches you to do. Stand firm in his word of truth. Know and believe that he has the best in mind for you and your family and all of those connected to you. God is blessed so mightily. I'm so eternally grateful that Lori's family is not what it used to be. It's not because of me. It's because of the Lord in me. My heart is full for our young people, though. Making bad decisions. Bad decisions. That's why I'm glad for you that have a heart for kids. That's why. Because sometimes I just want to wring their neck. I'm serious. Because I know if they continue on in the same path, it's a bad path. It's a bad path that has no good end. And their lives must change. Pray with me about these kids. They need the Lord before it's too late. too late. Pray God give me strength to do what I ought to do, instead of do what my flesh wants to do. I'm serious. That's a heart attack. Samson began to deliver. But think about what could have happened if he completely surrendered to God and done what God wanted him to do. Wow. He did a lot. He woke up the Philistines. And you know what? God can use you to wake up the Philistines, if you will, in our world. Because they're out there. All you got to do is look around a little bit. A third mother. Down in the New Testament. Luke chapter 1. Dr. Luke likes to go into great detail. Luke chapter 1. Verse 5. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judah a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abi. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God. I underlined that in my Bible. They were both righteous before the Lord. They believed the Lord. They served the Lord. They honored the Lord in all they did. But they just couldn't have any kids. But God had a very special plan for a very special son. And he would be the third Nazarite I want to speak about today. Women, you don't know. Well, some of you are past that time when you can have children. Elizabeth thought she was. But nothing's impossible with God. God had a plan to send a son named John the Baptizer. We call him John the Baptist. John the Baptizer. He was calling the nation of Israel to repentance, preparing the way before the Lord. John the Baptizer. Repent! The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was his message. Repent! The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's preparing for Christ. Christ coming again. I want you as a nation to come to the Lord, to know He's coming. Prepare your way before Him. Repent of your sin. Get your heart right. Live for God today, because the Redeemer is coming. You know, they were looking for a Redeemer, someone to save them. They were tired of Rome. Right? And their tyranny. They want to get rid of it. They wanted God's kingdom on earth. Well, they missed out. Because they were looking for the wrong thing. Most of them were looking for the wrong thing. Christ came first as a suffering Savior. He's coming again as a sovereign Lord. And that's what we're looking for. John the Baptist says, prepare your hearts before God. How do you prepare before God? He is a holy God. He wants a holy people. The only way we can be holy is by receiving Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord. And that gets our hearts and lives right. Then we need to listen to the Spirit of God, who God has graciously given us when Jesus asked to the Father. Because He said, I'll send the Comforter, and He'll be with you, and He'll live inside of you. all three of the Nazarites I talked about this morning could be your child. Could be. God chooses unlikely subjects to do His work. Why? Why? This is the best I can get. He uses those individuals that seem most likely to be successful because they have to depend on God to get the results. God does the work. God does the work. We're just His instruments. Will you be an instrument for God? Will you? Will you show some little child the way to Jesus Christ? Will you be willing to give your life for them and show them the way, help them to walk in the way, help them to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ? Those are the things that's going to matter in the end. It won't matter whether I made the 10 most famous and wealthy individuals in the U.S., it won't matter. It won't matter. Most of them are probably going to go to hell anyway. You got the wrong priorities. Wrong priorities. I realized a long time ago, if you're going to serve God, you got to put Him first. You can't put the world first. You can gain the whole world, but if you lose your soul, what's it worth? Nothing is exactly right. I feel deep hurt for those that are stuck on that. I've got to gain it all. Because you know what? The first billion, they think they've got it. And then they realize once they've got it, it ain't enough. It's never enough. In fact, the Bible talks about things that are not enough. Right? Yeah, it does. What are the important things for you? For me, it's my family knows the Lord. Is your family important to you? Pray. Pray that they'll come to the Lord. And if you can't get them to come to the Lord and trust the Lord, you pray that God will send someone in there. Yes. That'll be able to touch their heart. It's very hard to reach family. Mm-hmm. I testify to that. It's hard to reach family. They've got to see Him in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it's not enough just to see it. They've got to hear it too. You've got to put them together. The world needs that. They need to know that you can be a wonderful person in the Lord. God wants to use you, and only He can use you. Once you come to Him, I guarantee you this, He will give you spiritual gifts that He wants you to use for His glory. Use them. That's when it gets exciting. What is God doing in your life? What? What is He doing? You're all getting serious, aren't you? Praise God! Let's all get serious. In the Lord. In the Lord, not in the ways of the world. This world's passing away. I'm looking forward to that new heaven, that new earth. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's what we need. Amen?
Amen.
And away with all this mess.
Amen.
But let's take as many out as we can when we go. You follow what I'm saying? Let's take as many out as we can when we go. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your faithfulness. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be thankful every day. Help us to be instruments that You can work through and use for Your glory. I thank You for each person here this morning. Lord, there's so many gifts here. Help them to use us, use those gifts and ourselves for your glory and honor and praise. Guide us all, bless us all, and use us all, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.